Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. With me today is Meredith Hodge, the Executive Director of Refuge for Women. Meredith, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you for having me, Ron.
So, real simple question. What is the definition of trafficking?
Trafficking, you know, at its core, this is a high profit and low risk business. It's basic economics of supply and demand. It's where human beings are being sold and used by people who view them as objects or means of profit.
And how about as far as labor goes?
There are two different types of trafficking.
Okay.
One is labor and the other is sex. So labor trafficking, very similar to sex trafficking, but this has to do more with debt bondage. This has to do with work, where sex trafficking is where people are being used for the purpose of a commercial sex act. So they manifest differently in our community and across the nation. But those are the two main types.
I'm not sure if people even realize that there's two main types for trafficking.
Absolutely. And Refuge for Women, the organization that I'm with today, we specialize in sex trafficking restoration for victims. But labor trafficking is very common as well. And we like to say both of these are hidden in plain sight. They can be absolutely displayed here in McHenry County and our amazing area. But we have to know what we're looking for with both.
And I don't think that people realize that this goes on in McHenry County. We think it's a nice community and farm community and local folks, but it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what it represents.
Yeah, so, you know, again, one of the main, especially legally, portions of trafficking, there has to be elements of recruiting, harboring, provision, patronizing, or soliciting of someone. And legally, when we're talking about child sex trafficking, we have to know that anyone under the age of 18, whether there is some force, fraud, or coercion, they are automatically considered a victim of sex trafficking because they are a minor.
What are the categories for trafficking? I mean, where does it show up? Where does it present itself?
Yeah, so with labor trafficking, what we would be looking at is the farming or agriculture sectors, the health and beauty services. So we think of salons or massage parlors. The hospitality industry can be have some labor trafficking victims. So we think of restaurants or hotels, even cruise ships,
Stop you right there. Even cruise ships? I mean, I would have never thought cruise ships.
Absolutely. Yeah, anywhere where there is an opportunity to exploit someone for free labor or in exchange for goods and services, you can pretty much labor traffic anyone in any industry. And so, you don't think of, especially law enforcement, being on a cruise ship kind of looking for these things. So the cruise ships have a separate element to them where there's not a lot of people looking at what's going on there. But yeah, restaurants, you think behind the house in the kitchen, stuff like that. But we also see it manifested in the construction sphere more commonly as well as house service businesses. So nannying, maids, or even house cooks, chefs, something like that. Something that a lot of people don't think in our community with labor trafficking is forced begging, which we could see on the streets here, or maybe on some of the off ramps or shopping centers here in McHenry County. And I don't want to say everyone, that's certainly not the case, but sometimes there's a great chance when you see a group or a network of people begging and they're there day in, day out, it's very possible that they could be labor trafficked into begging for some purpose.
And here you see these people on the street that are begging for money, and you automatically assume that they're homeless or they want some money for food, but yet they're being trafficked.
It's very possible, yeah. And again, not everybody, but when you look at the incredible scope of our county and the resources we do have to help those in need. I even had an example myself where, you know, I couldn't prove it, but I went and bought bags of groceries for this family that was sitting outside of a Jewel. And I brought the groceries out to them, and they were like, we don't want this. You know, they needed the money. And I also don't think it was that they weren't being grateful, but they had to bring in a certain amount of money. And it's very possible that they weren't choosing to be there. And it could have been the spouse. It can be within a family network. It doesn't have to be a big business. But there can be some element of coercion or threats or blackmailing to get people to do that.
You know, one of the things you have here is traveling sales crews.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a lot of that where they go out a whole group and they come out of a van and they're going to sell magazines.
Yes.
So that also ties into trafficking.
Yes. Again, with trafficking, there has to be an element of force, fraud, or coercion. And with labor trafficking, I would say most of the time the highest element is that fraud element, especially if we're talking about people who are not from our area or maybe they're not English first language speakers. There can be this fraud element of someone presenting the American dream. You know, I know how to make you have this life for you and your family where you'll make a lot of money and come work for me. But again, there may be some threat there. Again, maybe if there's an identification or citizenship challenge, or again, the language barrier. They maybe don't understand our laws as well. And so that boss, quote unquote, will use them or threaten them or their families in order to keep them working at usually low to little cost.
Well, for the folks out there listening, this is really good holiday cheer, isn't it? I mean, it's sad to hear all this and know all this, but it's better to get it out there and better,
yes,
for people to find out what's going on. Because,
yes,
you just covered the labor side.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's cover the sex side.
Yes. So with sex trafficking, again, it can happen anywhere. It can manifest itself in many areas, but we know some of the main areas that it presents itself is porn. And I know that's a really uncomfortable topic because that hits closer to home for us. But nowadays, we can create our own porn and we can consume it within our own homes. You know, we don't have to drive up to Wisconsin, off to a little seedy shack off the side of the highway and go get a video or a magazine like decades ago. With the internet and everybody having a phone in their pocket, especially children, you can exploit someone. You can exploit someone within your own home and push that out. You can, again, consume it, and the addictive factor to that is rising. And so that's one of the main ways we're seeing it created and distributed, especially in our area. But we'll see it a lot in illicit massage parlors and spas. We'll see it in the bars or the clubs, on the streets, strip clubs, escort services. You know, not everyone there is a victim of trafficking, but for some, there's an element of not being there by choice, though it may seem like it on the surface. But it also happens in truck stops. We'll see it at hotels and motels and anywhere there is gang activity. Gangs will traffic drugs, they will traffic guns, but they will also traffic people. And so,
now there's some myths out there, and I know you want to talk about that. What is myth number one?
I have so many myths. I could talk for hours about them. And the reason I want to talk about those myths is there's a lot of sensationalism in the media, within our communities. There's a lot of misconception. What we see or in movies, and we think, oh, well, that's trafficking. And so some of the typical things that we see doesn't help the cause. So it doesn't help the anti-trafficking or restorative movements because we were thinking trafficking is presenting itself as something, and we may not be seeing the people in our own sphere. So the main one I like to share is that the first myth is trafficking means holding someone hostage or abducting them. And so that's, again, what we'll see. You'll think of the movie Taken with Liam Neeson. But I want to say very clearly, this does happen. It is a reality. It's a horrific reality. But the true reality for the majority of trafficking victims is many victims are quote unquote free. So we like to say that chains are invisible. So we tend to see on social media this imagery of hands that are bound or wrapped in chains, and we think again of this kidnapping or being held hostage in a basement.
Or they've been drugged.
Yes, exactly. And again, very, very clearly this does happen, but these invisible chains that we're talking about with victims walking around free is these are under-addressed, under-resourced vulnerabilities, and we this all comes together as trauma. So anything that would categorize itself as trauma, like abuse, neglect, disability, violence, addiction, homelessness, poverty, these are areas of vulnerability. And so a trafficker, an abuser, will identify these things in someone, and they will leverage these vulnerabilities, and that will create dependency. And so you can see, you could have a trafficking victim at Starbucks, just, you know, walking around free. She could be at the PTA meeting. She could be at your church or school. And so again, we have to kind of widen our gaze on what trafficking really is.
So that leads us to your myth number two then.
Yeah, so another one, and it does kind of go in with this, is, oh, trafficking victims are all kidnapped by strangers. And, you know, especially after I give a presentation, I'll have moms come up and they'll say, should I be worried or scared about my child being kidnapped and being trafficked? And, you know, scared, I don't know if that's the word I would use, but the majority of trafficking victims are not kidnapped. Again, it does happen. But the reality is most traffickers, it's somebody the victim already knows, unfortunately. So it could be a significant other, like a spouse or a boyfriend. It could be a family member. We've had many residents who have been trafficked through their family, including their parents. It could be the friend, the teacher, a coach. It could be a neighbor. And again, this all goes back to psychological tactics. So we think of blackmailing, again, coercion and threats. And what this does is manipulates victims into providing commercial sex. And there's a liability there.
We're going to pause for just a minute to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, WHRULP. And we're speaking to Meredith Hodge. Right now, she's giving us some background information on trafficking. What is your myth number three, Meredith?
Myth number three, another viewpoint that's a bit skewed here is, well, trafficking only happens in developing nations and communities that are facing poverty. You know, a lot of us think, oh, well, I know this happens in Thailand or the Philippines, or maybe we think of Inglewood in the inner city, right? And that's where our minds go. But the reality is that trafficking happens in every community here in America. It affects every single race, gender, religion, every socioeconomic status. And sometimes I'll hear a messaging around, oh, these are all immigrants or people coming in from other countries that are being trafficked, right? They're being funneled in through America. But the reality is 83% of U.S. trafficking victims are born in our country. And I personally am of the mindset of it shouldn't matter where you come from or what your status is. Trafficking and exploitation is a horrific crime against humanity. But again, we have to keep reminding ourselves that 83% of American victims are born in our country.
You've also got the Chicago Midwest stats that I'd like to share with the folks.
Yeah, so when we're thinking about Chicagoland, the greater Chicagoland area in the Midwest, about 16,000 to 25,000 women and girls are exploited in our area every year. And so again, when we're thinking, okay, this isn't just a number of kidnapped and bound victims in our area, when we're thinking that these are women that are walking around freely, this number begins to make sense. And just to put that into perspective, 16,000 to 25,000, that's enough to fill and exceed capacity at the United Center. So it's a tremendous number. And again, reminding ourselves that this can be happening through our phones.
You know, Meredith, I think the Chicagoland footnote that you have is very interesting to share with the folks to tell them about what's going on, why Chicagoland?
Yeah, why our area? One of the main reasons is because we are an international and convention city. So there are, certainly we have O'Hare Airport, which brings people in from all over the world. And we have so many hotels and convention centers. And this isn't about necessarily bringing victims in. This reality is what's bringing buyers in to our area. You can come in from Germany, you can come over from England for a weekend to Chicago, right? You could come here for a seminar, for work, and it really is as easy as going back to your hotel room, pulling out your phone, and ordering a woman to be brought to your room. It's really that easy. And so when you're coming in, you're anonymous, right? You're away from your family, your community. There's really very little risk. And so again, the buyers are what is making the demand so high. Again, no demand, no supply. So there is a demand for sex, and people will find a way to supply it. Another reason our area has a higher number of victims is what we call it, the Midwest Pipeline or the Trafficking Corridor, and that would be I-94. That would be any interstate, really. For the purposes of transportation. And it's not that they're being moved and relocated. It's as simple, I say simple, as in our community here, you can be in Indiana in an hour and you can be in Wisconsin in an hour. And you can come back at the end of the day. And so buyers can come in from different states, purchase a woman, go right back home. Very different jurisdictions. The law can't necessarily follow you, though that is federal. The resources are still very low for that. And it's the same for a victim. She could be your neighbor, and she could go over to Wisconsin for the day and be exploited and still come back home and go about her life. And so, again, we have a high market, I say, for bringing buyers in at little risk.
You know, it sounds like a department store where, you know, you're going to bring shoppers in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're talking about areas from Chicago to Milwaukee to Madison, Wisconsin, to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, to Minneapolis and North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. And of course, the ones who are vulnerable are what? The child welfare system, right?
Yeah. You know, there are some markers that would make someone more vulnerable to being exploited. And certainly the more you have on this list, we as a community, we want to be paying attention to the people in our lives that have these markers. So, like you said, especially children who have been in the welfare system, those who have experienced sexual abuse as children and as adults, those who are in a lower socioeconomic status or experiencing poverty and homelessness, those that have substance use disorder. Again, as I mentioned earlier, those who are involved in gangs, youth who have been in the juvenile justice system. We also know runaways. And as recently as 10 years ago, this wasn't on the list, but it is now. Even if you have no trauma, no quote-unquote vulnerabilities, simply being a teenager today makes you vulnerable for being exploited. And again, it goes back to children are getting phones at 10 years old, and it may be that they're not looking or thinking that they want to participate in some online sexual activity, but it's coming to them, whether or not they want that.
You'd like to share with the folks the Refuge for Women, some of the things you folks are doing. I see you offer 12-month programs and things like that.
Yes.
To share with the folks.
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at the scope of all of this, all these vulnerabilities and where this could be happening, we know that across the nation, more than 80% of victims who are either rescued or choose to come out of their situation, they will actually go right back to the sex trade. Because they need specialized long-term programs. You know, I don't want to diminish food, shelter, and clothing. Those are necessary, very important things. But food, shelter, and clothing will not heal such compounded trauma that's happened. So this is where Refuge for Women steps in. We We do offer 12 months of residential healing programs, which are free of charge to our residents. And this, our main home, our long-term program home, is 24/7 staffed. And our women are residing there for a full year healing from sexual exploitation.
So why don't we tell people, if you want to get involved with Refuge for Women, what needs to be done?
Yeah, we have a lot of opportunities. You know, we do take volunteers. It's quite the process. But we need people to drive our women, to help at our events. We are a nonprofit organization, so we can always use some funding and sponsorship. We love a good gift card drive to help us provide for our residents, and we love awareness here at Refuge for Women. So we will go out and give presentations in our community, so schools, churches, law enforcement, anywhere you can call us and bring us in. And if you want to host a fundraiser for us, again, it helps generate the funds to further our mission.
So how do they get a hold of you, Meredith? I mean, what are the steps? Do you have a website? Do you have a phone number? How does that work?
Absolutely. Our website is refugeforwomen.org/Chicago.
So let's do that one more time so folks can write that down.
refugeforwomen.org/Chicago.
Is there a number they can call?
We don't have a number.
Okay.
But the website, our email is also on there, and that would be chicago@refugeforwomen.org.
So before we sign off, can you tell us about the women who are referred to you?
Absolutely. So the women who are referred to us, we take women who are 18 and over who have been trafficked or exploited. 100% of our women have been categorized as homeless and have various levels of mental health challenges. And so we receive these referrals through any outreach ministries, full aftercare homes. There's behavioral health settings. We receive them sometimes from law enforcement or the court system, rehab facilities, homeless or domestic abuse shelters. But a woman can refer herself. You know, if she's ready for help, she can certainly reach out to us.
And when they do that and they come to your location, is that kind of like an outpatient thing? They come for the day and they come
No.
back the next day, or they stay?
So they are living with us around the clock for a full year. So this, we are in a residential setting. We're not a drop-in clinic. And so we're in an actual home just plopped down in McHenry County. You would never know driving past where we're at. But we know that long-term residential healing programs are what will really help in the long run.
And you have to keep that confidential, because if they do have someone who's running them, you don't want them to find them. Mm-hmm. So it's kept on the confidential side.
We are very confidential and very protective about our locations. And our women do come from across the country. So we do that purposefully to remove them from where they were abused and trafficked. And that helps kind of mitigate the threat. But for local women, if they reach out, we will help place them in one of our refuge homes across the country, because we are a nationwide organization. So we have homes across the nation that we can take our McHenry County women and give them help in healing across the country. Just a new start, fresh start.
Have you had a situation where a McHenry County woman has moved to a home in another state?
Mm-hmm. We absolutely have. Yeah. And, you know, one of the terms we use is you can't heal in the place that you were sick. You know, so if she is trying to heal here in the area where she was purchased for sex from men across our county, she could run into them when we're out on one of our fun days. And so it keeps them from really focusing on their healing, because they're so concerned for their safety or just the triggering nature of this area. And so sometimes our ladies will end up staying in the area where they were healed. Some of them will go back home and continue to thrive in the area that they came from. And so every story is very different, very complex, but we've seen what's possible when you give someone long-term full holistic care.
Have the authorities been lucky enough to catch some of these purchasers, Meredith?
Absolutely. And I do have to give a special shout out to our county. I think McHenry County is really leading the charge in, one, seeing victims as victims. Kind of back in the day, you would look at one of these women and say, well, she's a prostitute, or she is a drug addict, or this is the life she chose, and they would be criminalized for that. And then the buyers or the pimps would get a slap on the wrist. And so we're getting a lot better at identifying victims, but also moving towards prosecuting the buyers or the pimps that are involved in this. We still have a long way to go, but I would like to say that our county is really leading the charge in this area.
Well, that's good to know, because it shows there's some hope.
Absolutely. We need hope.
We all need hope. Mm-hmm. And you know, the work that you're doing is really, I think, not only beneficial to the county, but to the individuals and helping them, you know, break the habit and break away from, you know, all that's been done to them and how they've been treated. And,
yes.
You know, just, you know, selling people is just so disgusting. I mean, when you think about it. But
yeah.
Meredith Hodge, Executive Director of Refuge for Women, we want to thank you for being here today and sharing your time with our station, 101.5 FM Huntley Community Radio Station. We hope, folks, that you like the show. You can always contact us through huntleycommunityradio.com. And, of course, you've got Meredith's website. You can always contact her if you're in need of help. Don't be shy. She's there. She's there to help you. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of it. And thank you, Meredith, and thank you, folks, out there for listening.
Thank you.